Easter is an impossible story written for everyone who has ever felt the sting of death and wished for something more. Easter is a story for everyone who loves life so much that they pray for more life to follow. Easter is a story for people who can envision a loving God who will not be conquered by evil. It's a story of love that never dies, of immovable objects that get tossed aside, of happy endings in a tragic world, of miracles, of faith rewarded, and vision restored, and hope justified. That's what Easter is. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us in person or via Pegasus, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of information about things going on at the church as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. This is intergenerational worship, which means we expect and love the joyful noise that children bring. We do have the playground down front, which is the most popular part of the sanctuary. We also have lovingly staffed nursery care just down the hall, and next week we're back to Sunday school. Today, though, we have coffee hour and an Easter egg hunt after worship. Right before the end of worship, kids will be invited to gather down front, ready to go hunt Easter eggs. There are instructions in the bulletin, and we'll give you more when we get to that part of service. And after worship, there's coffee hour downstairs for everyone in the vestry. Throughout Lent, we've been creating prayer trees, those branches with fabric prayers on them up on the dais. Week by week, we've been weaving a rainbow of our prayers as we write on strips of fabric and tie them to the trees. If you haven't had a chance to join in, today's your day, because Sarah Lynn has added rainbow strips. They're on the table over there along with markers. You are welcome to get one and add it to the tree anytime during worship, maybe especially during the pastoral prayer and the offering. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, your body, and your spirit. Deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who did such amazing things and said such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times, and it fills the world with new life. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I'm Jeanette. And now it's time to join in the call to worship. Your response is, roll back the stone, alleluia.
And I really want to hear it.
Let's practice. Alleluia.
Roll back the stone, alleluia.
When we are all despairing, when we see no way ahead, and hope has gone away,
roll back the stone,
alleluia. Because we're coming with the women, because we're ready for the earth to move and the angels on her way.
Roll back the stone,
alleluia. As we see the light of dawn, as we hear God call us toward new life, and we move to join the dance of joy,
roll back the stone,
alleluia.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is Number 205, Christ the Lord is risen today. Please rise as you are able and join us in body or spirit. The words are found in your bulletin and on the screen.
Amen. You may be seated.
On Easter Sunday, it is traditional to proclaim an affirmation of faith. This one is written by Roddy Hamilton.
We believe when the stone rolls,
life is set free, love is reborn. And alleluias dance.
We believe when the stone rolls.
The word speaks again. Creation sighs once more, and the land breathes deeply.
We believe when the stone rolls.
Love conquers all. Grace wins, and peace can be held in both hands.
We believe when the stone rolls.
Alleluias are spoken. Dancing is allowed in the aisles. Noisy children disrupt quiet adults. There is clapping after hymns and Easter eggs after everything.
We believe when the stone rolls.
The Spirit of Jesus is alive. Life is returned, and death is confined to the past.
When the stone rolls, we believe.
Believe. Amen. Amen. In a world of conflict and competition, we are getting ready to do something radical. Bless each other with shalom, with God's peace. Some of us are old friends, and some of us are new strangers. And some of us agree about just about everything, and some of us disagree with each other on principle. But on this Easter morning, in person, here, and at home, we recognize that we're all connected. We ground ourselves in love. We take a deep breath, and we offer each other peace with all our heart. Then we'll sing our song of celebration, and now, God's peace be with you.
And also
with you. Peace be with you, my dear. Good morning again. Our Easter story this morning is from Mark's version of the Good News, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
The pearly gates of heaven. St. Peter tells them that they can enter the gates if they can answer one simple question. St. Peter asks the first man, "What is Easter?" And the man replies,
"That's easy. It's the holiday in November when everyone gets together, eats turkey, and is thankful."
"Wrong," replies St. Peter, and proceeds to ask the second man the same question, "What is Easter?" And the second man replies,
"No, Easter is the holiday in December when we put up a nice tree, exchange presents, and celebrate the birth of Jesus."
St. Peter looks at the second man, shakes his head in disgust, then turns to the third man and asks, "What is Easter?"
"I know what Easter is. Easter is the Christian holiday that often coincides with the Jewish celebration of Passover. Jesus and his disciples shared the Last Supper, and he was later betrayed and turned over to the Romans by one of his disciples. The Romans took him to be crucified. He was stabbed in the side, made to wear a crown of thorns, and hung on a cross. He was buried in a nearby cave, which was sealed off by a large boulder. Every year, the boulder is moved aside so that Jesus can come out, and if he sees his shadow, there will be six more weeks of winter."
In the Orthodox Christian tradition, the priests often tell jokes on Easter Sunday, and they always gather the day after Easter to drink and smoke cigars. This reveals their belief that Easter is God's joke on evil, that it's love getting the last laugh on death. And so we want you all to laugh today with lots of jokes.
Here's one that ties into this morning's scripture reading. How do geologists like to relax?
I give up.
In rocking chairs.
So glad you told a joke about a rock, though. Here's another one. Where do boulders sleep?
In bedrock. I'm glad you're not taking these jokes for granted. What is a rock's favorite cereal?
Cocoa Pebbles. apples. All right, one more. What kind of rocks are sour?
Limestone. Oh, that was the one you didn't like? All right. We should stop and let Tom play a little song.
Oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
What's a pebble's favorite music?
Rock and roll! The day before Jesus was to come again, he wept. He looked into the hearts of the 2 billion professing Christianity, saddened so few really knew him and practiced what he preached. He remembered with horror Constantine using his cross as a weapon of war, crusaders slaying Muslims in his name, preachers spreading anti-Semitism from the pulpit, and fundamentalists using the Bible to foment hate. He felt embarrassed as he surveyed the vaults of wealth owned by religious hierarchies while children suffered and starved. His face flushed with rage, learning of ministers and priests blessing babies in God's name, then abusing the bodies and spirits of the vulnerable. Tempted to throw up his hands and give up, Jesus glanced over to his friend the Buddha. The Buddha encouraged him, saying, "Look again." Jesus looked again and saw the living saints, known, yet to be known, and never to be known, toiling for the good of humanity. Jesus' heart warmed to see the many small acts of kindness performed daily with no expectation of reward. Jesus was moved by Christians trying to get along with Muslims and Jews and Buddhists, Hindus and Taoists, seeking ways to love each other. Then Jesus smiled and said to the Buddha, "I'll give them a little more time to get it right." Amen. So the Buildings and Grounds Committee of the Mount of Olives Community Church was in an uproar. Again, someone had gotten themselves stuck in the church's tomb. It seemed to happen every year. Faithful people from Mount of Olives and surrounding towns would trek to the beautiful church during Holy Week. Apparently, people would read the Bible stories about Jesus spending time in the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Unable to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, folks would decide the next best thing would be a visit to small town Mount of Olives, Pennsylvania. The church had long ago come to terms with most of the inconvenience brought on by the pilgrims, the worst burden being the one on the lavatories, and had even found ways to turn the visitors into a blessing. Pastor Joe would offer baptisms in the beautiful koi pond behind the fellowship hall, and parishioners produced full cover photographs of the blessed event for a very reasonable $8, with all proceeds going to the Outreach and Social Justice Fund. The congregation dealt with the trampled lawn. How could they complain about dead grass when they were helping to bring new life to people's spirits? They planted bulbs in designs to represent the stations of the cross, and lay leaders signed up for shifts as prayer partners for the guests. Mount of Olives Community Church came to see the whole thing as a ministry, and they were very proud of themselves for moving away from those first few years when they considered the pilgrims to be trespassers and hired a police detail to keep them off the property. But the garden tomb continued to be a challenge. It was probably the reason people thought this Mount of Olives could stand in for the one in Jerusalem in the first place. When the church's forefathers and foremothers had chosen a site for the community church 173 years ago, they had situated the building at the base of a large rocky hill. During construction, they discovered a little cave in the side of the hill. It was just big enough for a hunched over adult to enter, and five or six people could sit together on the floor. The amazing part was the nearby stone that lined up to roll right in front of the entrance to the tomb, perfectly sealing it shut. Now, in Jerusalem, people made little ridges in front of their tombs for the stones to roll back and forth, but they didn't have that at the Mount of Olives Community Church, and they didn't need it because they weren't going to actually bury anyone in the tomb. The church didn't mind people going into the tomb, but there were signs posted everywhere telling people not to move the huge stone door. And yet it seemed, at least once, every year, some fool crawled into the tomb and managed to pull the boulder into place. Last year, it was a teenager from the city. Turns out he's gay, and he's trying to figure out how to tell his parents, so he just shut himself up in the tomb, said he felt shut off from everybody anyway. The year before, it was a young mom in town. She'd just been diagnosed with breast cancer and said she'd been trying to find someplace quiet to think. In the dark, she couldn't see the concern in everybody's eyes. Everybody remembered when the church custodian got himself closed in there. Turned out he'd been having flashbacks from the abuse he suffered as a child and thought he'd be safe in the cool stone tomb. Come to think of it, it seemed that everyone who got themselves stuck in the tomb was dealing with some kind of crisis. Unemployment, an emotionally abusive partner, anxiety attacks, addiction. And the people of the church were sympathetic. They really were. But the liability issues alone were terrifying. Of course, responsibility for the garden tomb fell to the Mount of Olives Community Church Buildings and Grounds Committee. And this was a group that took their responsibilities very seriously. Everyone in town knew that the community church excelled in cleanliness, dealt with maintenance in a clockwork fashion, and was a leader in energy-saving practices. But some wondered if there were security cameras in every room, since the committee also seemed to know who tracked mud into the ladies' parlor, and when someone borrowed the coffee pots from the kitchen without permission. The chair of the Buildings and Grounds Committee, Harrison Kellogg III, was a local businessman. He brought his business acumen and professional contacts to the table, but he was used to being in charge and could be a little bossy. He told the committee, "This is officially a crisis. I received a visit from the chief of the fire department this week. He says they can't keep coming and rescuing people from their tomb. This is a misuse of people's tax dollars. He said they're going to have to charge us from now on, levy a fine that will cover the cost of all the rescues. We need to post new signs saying that anyone who locks themselves in the tomb will have to pay $1,000. That should discourage most people and will cover the cost of those senseless enough to get stuck in there." Miss Harriet Westfield had a different idea. "I think it's time to form a committee," she said. She was sort of the queen of committees. She'd been a deacon for decades and was the longest serving member of the church council. She proposed, "We should study the tomb and the boulder and the topography of the garden. Some historical research into when people first got trapped in the tomb might be helpful. I've written up a charter for a committee that we can all vote on right now. I think 9 members will be enough to start, an odd number to break any tie votes. I think we'll need to meet once a week to start. I've drafted a questionnaire that we can send out to people who've been trapped in the past, and I bet we can have a plan in place by Easter 2027. "What?" Jacob Carlson interrupted Miss Harriet's plans. "What are you people talking about? We've got someone stuck in the tomb now. Signs aren't going to help the poor sod who's stuck in that tomb, and they certainly can't stay there till 2027. We've got to take action, and I've got just the solution." Jake had served in the Second World War. He was an ardent pacifist now who spent his time advocating for mental health benefits for veterans, but he wouldn't hesitate to use the right tools for the job. He said, "I've got these explosives I borrowed from my neighbor's construction. We'll just blow that rock to bits and nobody will ever be trapped in that cursed tomb again." The Buildings and Grounds Committee agreed that bombing the rock was a little extreme. But a tomb trouble committee was going to take too long, and charging people a huge fine wasn't necessarily the most compassionate way to deal with people in crisis. Pastor Joe said, "Why don't we do a Bible study?" Everyone on the committee immediately strained to keep from rolling their eyes. Pastor Joe always wanted to do a Bible study. Harrison tried to be gentle. "Pastor, I realize the Bible can be uplifting, and you've got a captive audience with that person in the tomb, but it won't actually help them get out." Now Pastor Joe had to avoid rolling his eyes. "I don't want to do a Bible study with the person in the tomb. I want the Building and Grounds Committee to do a Bible study. You know, look at a text where other people were dealing with the same problem." Of course, Pastor Joe was talking about this morning's scripture passage, the end of the Gospel of Mark, when several of the women who had followed Jesus during his ministry went to the garden tomb where his body had been placed following the crucifixion. 3 days had passed since Jesus' death, and the women were going to prepare his body for burial ritual. All the way to the garden, they worried, "Who will roll the stone away from the tomb?" And so Pastor Joe and the Buildings and Grounds Committee, at their emergency meeting during Holy Week, wrestled with the 16th chapter of Mark. They talked about what was trapped in that first tomb. The body of Jesus, killed because he refused to stay quiet when people were oppressed. Killed because he preached that everyone, everyone is a child of God. Killed because he believed that money and power and religion were supposed to create justice and peace, not hatred and war. For all that, Jesus was killed, his body laid in the tomb. And now his friends wanted to come and do for him the only thing they could, lovingly and spiritually prepare his body for burial. But first, they had to move the stone. The stone. Put there to protect Jesus' body from vandals and animals, now it was a barrier between him and his followers. As the women walked to the garden tomb, in their minds, the stone got larger and larger with every step. The stone began to represent all the difficulties they had experienced. The Roman oppressors, their own poverty, family members who didn't understand their dedication to this itinerant preacher, the disciples who thought of the women as helpers rather than partners. Pretty soon the women were in tears thinking about the massive stone. Then they were raging against the injustice of the world and all the pain they had known and every stone that had kept them from love and justice. They ran to the garden, ready to rail at the stone, to chip it away with their own conviction and resolve, ready to tear at it until their fingers bled. They would move that stone. Except it was already moved. No fire department equipment, no committee, no explosives. The rock was just tossed aside like it was an inconsequential pebble instead of a massive boulder. It was like whatever was in that tomb simply couldn't be contained by a mere rock, like some kind of pressure built up in that tomb until it blew, like Jesus had woken up and burst out of the tomb and now was what? Walking around in the world? Going to Galilee, apparently, according to the young man dressed in heavenly white, sitting right where Jesus' body had been laid. And now the young man was telling the women that they had to go tell the disciples and everyone that Jesus was going to meet them there in Galilee. It was all up to them now, they saw. Up to them to gather the men back together. Up to them to get everyone ready to see Jesus again. Up to them to spread the news that, yes, as promised, love was stronger than death, and God's love had overcome the world's hatred. It was up to them to share this good news, and that sounded even harder than rolling the stone away had been just a few minutes ago. So now they were very afraid. Bible study finished, the Mount of Olives Community Church Buildings and Grounds Committee was quiet and still. Miss Harriet broke the silence. So people are always getting themselves trapped in tombs, aren't they? Maybe not stone burial tombs, but tombs of fear and anger and oppression and greed. The stone sealing our little garden tomb is nothing compared to the fortresses in which we trap ourselves and each other. Jacob Carlson nodded in agreement. Yes, and think about what happens when someone gets themselves trapped in our tomb, he said. The rescue crews come roaring in, the crowds all gather around, the prayer partners show up, and everybody's worrying about who's inside and how they're doing. And as soon as the big rock gets pushed aside just enough for them to come out, the crowd roars and cheers and rushes forward to hug them and take them out to lunch, and they get cards and flowers and prayed for in church next Sunday. No wonder they start to feel better after that. Harrison Kellogg III stood up so abruptly that he knocked over his chair. But someone shouldn't have to trap themselves in a big cave in order to get some help and support from their neighbors. We got to get that stone moved, and we've got to make sure nobody ever gets trapped in that stone ever again. Not because of the expense or the inconvenience, but because we can't have people feeling that alone, that unloved. Miss Harriet agreed. Let's go, she said. Let's go find out who's trapped in that tomb today. Let's get them out, and let's figure out how we can help them. Us, because we're the only ones here, and that poor child of God needs us right now. And so it happened that the members of the Mount of Olives Community Church put their shoulders to the huge boulder sealing their garden tomb. And despite its heft and the uneven ground, somehow the stone moved, just a bit, but then a little bit more. People in town that day swore they felt a minor earthquake, so maybe there was a little help. But sure enough, those church leaders got that stone moved away and drew out the family they found there, people who just fled violence in Haiti and had no place to go, so just closed themselves right up in that cave. The next day, some changes were made in the Mount of Olives garden. Now there is always someone from the church sitting in the little cave, ready to spend time with anyone who needs to sit there for a while, providing a listening ear, or a gentle prayer, or tissues and a hug. People were kind of surprised when most of the shifts in the tomb were taken by members of the Buildings and Grounds Committee. It's not like they had to keep an eye on the boulder to make sure it didn't get rolled back in front of the cave, because now the big stone is laid flat in front of the cave. No longer is it a door sealing people in. Now it is a table, welcoming all who come. People gather at the stone to share food with each other. Pastor Joe serves communion there every evening. Harrison Kellogg has set up a clothing exchange on the stone. Jacob Carlson meets veterans there to discuss the services they need. Miss Harriet has created a new committee focusing on addressing homelessness in the area, which meets at the Rock. And the children have decorated the big stone with chalk, drawing hearts and peace signs and circles that represent the opening of an empty tomb. And people come from far and wide, having heard about a place where compassion overcomes fear, life overcomes death, and nothing, nothing separates anyone from the love of God. Amen.
Thank you. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. We hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys, and some of my joys today are certainly Sarah Lynn's leadership with all the young people who just left to set up the Easter egg hunt, as well as our musicians this morning, always Tom in the senior choir, Mark on drums, Daryl on horn. Thank you for being here today. What other joys do you bring to this place today? Dee Dee. Last week, Dee Dee and Randall had a chance to visit Victor, right? Did I get that right? Who used to be a member of this church. He's doing great. He's a sergeant in the Marines, and so glad that that connection continues. Thanks, Dee Dee. Good morning. Oh, happy birthday to your mom, Dan. What's her name? We celebrate that Dan's mom, Andrea, is 29 today. Other joys. Gail, do you have any joys up there?
I do. We have another birthday of a mother, and this is our moderator, Lane, has written to us. He and his family are in Pennsylvania celebrating his mother's 90th birthday with all of his family and all of his brothers.
Lane is in Pennsylvania celebrating his mom's 90th birthday today, and family is all around, including all of Lane's brothers. So my husband has his hand raised, and I generally never like whatever he has to say. Paul, you have it. No, I generally like everything he has to say, except when he raises his hand in church. Paul, what is your joy today? Yeah. So our oldest child is going to be 23 on Friday. We celebrate Spencer's birthday and the fact that he has moved to Seattle. And exactly. And is doing so well. Paul, why do you have your hand up again? Yeah. So Beth and I are celebrating our birthday next Saturday. So happy 29th to me and Beth. Yeah. Good morning. What joy might you have this morning, Jeff?
Jenna in Texas is turning 36 today.
Your cousin Jenna is turning 36 in Texas? Happy. You're very good with birthdays.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to her. When I told Jeff that my birthday was April 6th, he knew exactly that it was also Beth's birthday. Sorry, my brain stopped.
And
Doug.
We're celebrating family and Easter dinner, and I can't help continuing to talk about our newest granddaughter, Phoebe, who today will have all four of her grandparents in the same place where we plan on fighting for a bit.
Doug and Sarah are celebrating Easter festivities today, where their newest grandchild, Phoebe, will be the star. She will have four grandparents arm wrestling for a chance to hold her this morning. Did I see that, Rachel? We are loving, Rachel's lifting up the beautiful weather and the spring flowers. Sarah Lynn saw pussy willows blooming out front. Awesome. Did I miss another one? Miriam. This is my first Easter at First Congregational Church of Natick, and I am certainly celebrating that. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Robin. So So your friend Cara, her dad died yesterday. So prayers for Cara and the family, and then I missed the rest. Bill. Wait, the Bill Delahunt? So your friend Cara is, oh. Okay, so we're holding Bill Delahunt's family and friends in prayer. Thanks, Robin. Other concerns this morning. Gail, do you have any concerns up there?
Yes, we have one request for prayers. This is from David Richardson. He says for his friend's family whose three-year-old is undergoing extensive screening on Monday. Mm.
So hello to David, and we're holding in prayers family, friends, that their three-year-old is going through extensive screening on Monday. Prayers for that family and that three-year-old. Thanks, Gail. As we get ready to come together in prayer this morning, in response to when you hear me say, we pray with you, God of life, your response is, alleluia, so be it, amen. Let's practice once. We pray with you, God of life, alleluia, so be it, amen. Let us pray. Life-changing God, today the March sun rose one last time this year, even if the clouds hid it. The earth feels the promise of warmth to come. The trees reach toward the light. Spring is your prayer that the earth might be whole. We pray with you, God of life. Alleluia, so be it. Amen. Life-changing God, today we joyfully gather with our family and friends. We share laughter. We break bread. We reconnect with the foundation of our lives. Relationship is your prayer that people might be whole. We pray with you, God of life. Alleluia, so be it. Amen. Life-changing God, today our world is in pain. There is destructive war. There is economic hardship. There's pain and grief and loss. We are your prayer that the world might be whole. We pray with you, God of life. Alleluia, so be it. Amen. Life-changing God, today we are Easter people. We believe that love is stronger than death. We believe there is joy in the morning. We believe that there are abundant blessings in life. Easter is your prayer that creation will be whole. We pray with you, God of life. Alleluia, so be it. Amen. Life-changing God, hear us now as we pray together an ancient prayer taught to us by the one who has changed so many lives. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Throughout the season of Lent, we've been focusing on shalom, the idea of well-being and wholeness for all people, a world of justice and peace, the way that God made it to be. At various times over the last 6 weeks, we've despaired at the lack of shalom in the world. Everything from legislation against our precious LGBTQ youth, to treatment of migrants running for their lives, to death and despair in Gaza, and so much more. Sometimes I think we have felt powerless, wondering what we could do to help. The prayers we've woven into the trees have given us strength, as have the conversations we've had with each other. Today, there's another way we can make a difference as we participate in the Easter offering. Contributions to this year's Easter offering will be divided between one great hour of sharing and Southborough Safe Spaces. The former does work around the world, stepping in during chaos and crisis to provide support and care, whether it's medical treatment for women and children fleeing violence in their homelands, or seedlings given to a community to create a new source of food and economic survival. Giving to OGHS, we have a broad impact around the world. On the other hand, Southborough Safe Spaces is very local. This interfaith organization provides spiritually inclusive support and advocacy for LGBTQIA youth and their families. It helps young people to not only survive, but thrive. Giving to Southborough Safe Spaces, we have a deep impact on our neighborhood. There are special envelopes available for those in person who would like to contribute to the Easter offering, as well as info in the bulletin for other options for giving. As always, this offering is completely optional. It's just one of the many ways in which you help create shalom in the world. May we feel that deep and abiding peace as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering.
Thank you.
God bless these gifts and especially the lives who will feel the stone rolling away because of them. Amen. Our closing hymn is "In the Bulb There Is a Flower." Amen. All right, children of all ages and any parents who want to come with them are invited to come join me and Sarah Lynn. I think a bunch of them might be in the nursery. You might have to go that way.
No, if you say it louder, Grace will bring
them. Oh, Grace, if you can hear me, feel free to bring the children for the Easter egg hunt.
Come on down.
Parents are, of course, welcome to join. Kindergarten. We haven't done the blessing yet. Okay. Sarah Lynn. Go.
Okay. Alright.
We'll bless you eventually. for sure felt like blessing enough. But I'm not going to write an Easter blessing and not give it to you. So this benediction is a variation on words by Howard Thurman. Beloved, after the women have been to the tomb, after the stone has been rolled away, after the angel has calmed all fear, after he is risen was proclaimed, it is time for us to rise, for the work of Easter begins. Let us release the prisoner, protect the child, welcome the stranger, nurture the earth, pour compassion on all. May we rise and stay risen with Alleluia in our hearts. Happy Easter. Amen.